Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
What's up?
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one of two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you can unite and fight for what's right, not negative cause. The way we live is
pop. All right. This is what's happening with Marvin Jackson. This episode, tonight we're going to talk about black over black crime, trying to stop the violence, and where do we go from here to move forward? We're going to open up the lines. We'll get a lot of calls on this first show. We got a lot of things going on around the nation right now. A lot of black over black violence, a lot of violence, period. And we're always up in arms about when other people kill us. But we don't make the big giant fuss when we kill each other. So we always want to know, why is that? Why is there such a large outcry when a white man or a man of another color kills a black man? Or when black men kill each other every day? Seems to be okay. We don't have a big outcry about that. We don't march about that. What are we going to do about this situation? You know, we got positive people out here trying to do things, but how do we reach the masses, the people who really need to make a difference? The song speaks a lot to that message. I want to let a little bit more of it play as the callers line up.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does is bugging. It's one of two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right, not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headlines, front page, and rap, the name. MC's is right here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Check the brother's life with a knife. Run
from a black man. Cause that
hip-hop hip-hop artists will stop portraying so much violence so that the youngsters in the black community will stop portraying so much violence, self-on-self, black-on-black violence. But now, it's just like art imitating life. Things are just totally out of control, you know. We kill each other every day. I live in Detroit, Michigan. We got to have the highest murder rate in the nation. And we have churches on every single corner, but they are not in the community doing much of anything to try to reach the people that are out here terrorizing the community. And we're starting to stand up now because it's just getting worse and worse. It takes a 9-month-old baby to get shot up in a drive-by with an AK-47 for the Detroit 300 to stand up and say that there's something wrong. You know, you got 14-year-old boys walking around with AK-47 carjacking people all day. They just want a carjacking spree. What are they doing walking around all day with automatic weapons, just carjacking people? I mean, where are the men? Where are the men in the community to stop these guys and try to talk to them and tell them something different? I don't know. You know, I see young guys all the time. But, you know, a lot of times, even if they approachable or not, I think that's one of the biggest problems also, is that we don't think that these guys are approachable because they look all thugged out. They in their hoodies. They smoking their blunts. They all thugged out. They sagging or whatever. But if you approach them in the right way, I believe that we can talk to these young men and try to get them to see that what the life that they're living, that's not the right life to be living, and that's the short road, and all it's doing is making things worse for their own community, you know. Now, we're all up in arms right now about Trayvon Taylor, the young man in Florida. Now, that's a tragedy. Yes, it is, you know. And the guy that killed him, you know, he was on a mission. He definitely was on a mission, but we have Bloods and Crips, Gangster Disciples, folks, peoples, all kinds of gangs that are on missions every day, you know, killing black brothers, young black brothers, older black brothers, every day, you know, and we never seem to get any outcry when the brothers are killing each other. But when someone of another race kills someone of African American, all of a sudden we want to make a big thing about it. So I want to get some input on this topic about this black on black crime and just all the violence that's going on. I have a call from the 734 area code. I'm going to try to see if I can keep this caller on and see what they have to say. Caller, are you there? Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to speak. Well, first of all, I want to comment on this is an interesting topic. But I wanted to speak on a statement you made when you were talking about why or how all these young people are able to, you know, roam the streets with guns and weapons and things like that, and why no one is standing up. The point that I wanted to make is I think it's a product of the privatization of the juvenile criminal system here in Wayne County. You know, before we used to have active probation officers and programs and even truancy officers working in DPS actively, we don't have that anymore.
Right.
You know, everything is privatized now.
Right. And I even remember the Big Four. You remember the Big Four?
No, I think that was a bit before my time.
No, well, back in the early 80s, there was a group in Detroit called the Big Four, and it was just, it would be four police officers in the car, and they were patrolling the hoods and everything, and it's four of them in the car. So they're not getting ready to arrest nobody. They were there to deter crime and to stop crime and to just bring that presence to the hood and to the areas of high crime. If something went down and it needed to be arrest, then they call for backup and they get the paddy wagon or whatever. But I remember the Big Four. The Big Four wasn't no joke. They would put the
No, they weren't. But they were also notorious because they were white officers. And I think they went a little bit beyond their scope of jurisdiction, harassing young black males and females in the community. I think that's why Detroit Police Department ended up doing away with that, because of the complaints within the community. But I understand that concept. I do understand
that
concept.
And then maybe
that's something, you know, whoever, you know, the current chief, Godby, is that his name? Maybe that's something that he should look at doing again.
Yeah,
that could be an option.
Something to that effect, because, you know, there just needs to be more of a presence. I mean, you know, everybody seems to want to come in and say, it starts here. It starts at home. It starts in the schools. It starts in, yeah, that's true. That's all true. But when you have kids in a regular home life, you know, mother's on crack, daddy ain't there, the door's wide open, you know, people running in and out of the house, there's no kind of discipline or anything at all, then those kids are not getting any kind of home training.
No, they're not.
So then now they're going to go to school and act crazy. And then when they get to school, because the school has been handcuffed and can't really do anything with these kids, the school can't do anything. What do? Kick them, suspend them, send them back out into the streets. Because they can't chastise them. They can't paddle them. There's nothing they can really do as far as discipline these kids. So they send them back out into the community. They are suspending kids in elementary school. When we were in elementary, that was unheard of.
Yeah.
Kids in elementary school get suspended.
Yeah. But We live in a different time where, you know, kids, like you said, they're growing up in situations that, you know, parents aren't there or drugs and, you know, you got issues with poverty, no care, you know, lack of positive role models. And they're being raised by the radio, like you said, the music. They're being raised by movies and television.
Right.
So,
and then,
you know, so what do we do? I mean, there are so many layers to this problem, you know.
Yeah, there really are. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort to change things around, because my whole thing has always been, you know, how do we reach the grassroots people? How do we reach these people that seem to be unreachable, you know? How do we reach them, you know? And I think what's going to have to happen, and on one of my next shows, I'm going to introduce a clip from a guy named Larry Hoover, because I really believe that, you know, when it comes down to the serious hood, we're going to have to get some OG guys from the hood that have seen what hood life is about, and know that hood life is not a good thing, and those guys are going to have to try to turn the table and try to make a positive influence on these young guys in the hood that are looking up to them. Because a lot of these young boys that 8, 9, 10, 11 don't have daddies and big brothers, they're looking up to the drug dealers. They're looking up to the gangbangers. Those are their role models.
Along with the rappers.
Yeah. The brothers speeding up and down the street in their cars, selling drugs and acting, you know, buck wild. That's who they see more so than what they see on TV as well. You know, we already have enough negative influences on television, but then all the negative influences that they see in the hood, you know. So hood guys are going to have to step up too.
Yeah, and, you know, before I get off the phone, one of the things that the reason why these young people gravitate to, you know, those negative influences, because a lot of times when you're hungry and, you know, you got somebody on the street that's, you know, selling drugs or whatever, or, you know, breaking into houses, and you don't have any money. And, you know, these guys will pat the kids on the back, on their head, you know, why don't you do this? And, you know, put 20 spot in their hand. And, I mean, how can you compete with that? Because with that $20, that allows them to bring that back home.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
that may allow
right.
them to have lunch for the day. You know,
yeah,
so
right.
I mean, there's just so many different layers. And so, you know, as a young impressionable child, somebody giving you $20 just to look out for the police, what? You know,
right.
that's
yeah.
how you eat.
Oh, because I've seen it. You know, guys, you know, man, what can I do to make a couple dollars? All you got to do is stand down here, you know, and when you see the police, blow this whistle or do this or do that. You know, and then throw some dollars in your pocket.
Right, and they become instant heroes.
So now, they're the little guy riding around. They got their nice little fresh little bicycle, you know, 8, 12, 13, all the other little boys. Like, man, what you doing? How you getting, you know, how you getting mm-hmm. fresh gym shoes? How you get that bike?
Well, you'll tell them. It's easy in their mind.
Yeah.
In their mind, it's easy, you know. So, you know, and I guess just, you know, through this conversation, maybe that's something that the law enforcement leaders need to look at, as far as maybe allowing their officers, you know, or probation officers, parole officers, get them out in the community. To actually role model with these kids and get them involved in different, or allowing them to, first of all, to get involved and be there for these kids and give them something positive, somebody positive to look at. I guess that's a first step that probably could be taken. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
but I just
wanted
to call in. Good show, sir. It was good. Okay. Good conversation.
All right. Well, thank you. And
I'm still listening.
All right. I'm going to keep on chatting on that because just like the other night, I was listening to Let It Rip. Excuse me. And the other police chief that we had that retired, well, they kind of got put out. Because of the big thing with the TV show. What was his name?
I can't remember. I don't.
God, man, he was just on. He was before Gabby.
Oh, Warren Evans.
Yeah, Warren Evans. Warren Evans was just on Let It Rip the other night, you know, with Hugh Perkins and all of them. And he had a lot of good things to say. You know, he was like, you know, right now, the police department is active. He says, we're reacting to stuff instead of trying to do things ahead of time to cut, you know, to curtail the crime. And he made a lot of good points in what he was saying, you know. And I was like, he's right. you know, he's right, because, you know, it's like the police officers are sitting back waiting for stuff to happen, you know, instead of in the hood trying to make alliances with these older guys that's influencing the younger guys, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of them know them. They know. Mm-hmm. They go drive by, you know. They go mm-hmm. cut. They go cut. They know these guys. Mm-hmm. And the guys in the hood know the police officers. And they go, officer, what you call it? There you go. You know, so they know these guys. You know,
yeah.
They don't know them on a friend. The relationship that they know them on is not the greatest, but they know each other and they recognize mm-hmm. each other. You know, and if they could just somehow come together
mm-hmm.
for the betterment yeah. of the community, then I think that would be one way that we could really touch the grassroots of the hood,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try to make the changes there. Because that's mm-hmm. where most of the issues are, you know. It's in mm-hmm. the hood where these brothers feel like they have no hope,
mm-hmm.
you know. They feel like they have no hope. They feel like, man, forget school. Forget school. Forget all that stuff. I'm about to go over here and get this change. I'm about to go get this paper. I'm about to go get this money. They ain't paying us nothing in school. I'm going to go over here and sit in this house or be outside this house watching out so I can get some money in my pocket. I don't know when I'm going to see my mom and them. I don't know when. They don't be cooking at the house. I don't know when I'm going to eat.
Mm.
So they're doing what they got to do.
Yeah.
So something's got to happen to make this thing turn around.
Yeah. Something will make this thing turn around.
Like I said, Warren Evans made some really good points of what he was talking about, you know, community involvement, trying to bring different things back. And he wasn't putting Gabby on the hot seat, but he was just saying that, you know, he was just pointing out the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just pointing out the facts of where the murder rate was at when he was in, and where it's at now, how it has increased. You know, homicides are up.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. They're up. They're way up from when he was in. You know, and a lot of times the media plays into that. The media has a big part in it.
Well, it had a very large part in that situation because I think because of all the media that was going on at that time, I mean, you, from the looks of it, you end up pushing out a very good police chief. And I'm not saying that the current one isn't decent, but you went from having a situation where the crime rate was low or it was at least manageable. And it just exploded. It exploded overnight. And you know, politics, the media, and no one wanted to just stand up and make a decision or at least be a leader and say, you know what, I don't care what's going on. This man is doing a good job. Let's keep him in. And I'm not, you know, throwing rocks at Mayor Dave Bing either because, you know, he's doing the best he can. But I think if there was a more savvier mayor in place, I don't think I don't think that person would have turned their back on Warren Evans as fast as Dave Bing did. But I'm gonna get off the phone and I'm gonna listen to the show and see what your feelings are on that.
All right. Yeah, because I just feel like, you know, they gave up on him too quick, you know, because of that one situation that happened at that house where the guys got into a beef and then they came back and shot the house up and the little girl got killed. And they were trying to create, Warren Evans was trying to create a reality show. His whole thing was, that he wanted to put a spotlight on Detroit to try to show the nation, maybe even with D.C. and the federal government, what's going on here so we can get more input and maybe even some more dollars to help get more officers on the street or try to get more community involvement. And that one situation backfired on them, and that caused him to go out. And that, you know, I feel like that's not right. You know, you give a man one strike, and he was doing a good job to that point, but he just got one strike. That one incident is basically what put him out. You know, after that happened, you know, and they all wanted to try to cover it up, but he stood up like a man and said, well, hey, I did it, but guess what? They had to sign off on it. I couldn't just start that show by myself. I couldn't just start a television show in the city of Detroit with the task force, with the police, by myself. It had to go down the line. It had to go down through the ranks, and other people had to had to sign off on that. So it didn't all fall on him. But when it was all said and done, they pointed their finger at him. And he took it. He said, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to stand back. Excuse me. I'm just going to stand back. And I'll go, I'll leave, you know, I'll resign or whatever. But I still got my eye on you. And I'm going to see what happens. Because you want me? Go ahead. But let's see what happens. Now, and he said, side rate was 25% at that point. It's 40% higher now, and we're not even halfway. We're only 3 months into this new year. You know, we're on rate to have the highest murder rate in the nation, period. You know, and I don't know what this new guy is doing, but don't seem like he's pushing the right buttons and pulling the right switches, because brothers are still out here lighting it up every day. And we ain't even got into the whole thing. I ain't even started on this whole deal about how the Arabs and the Celts and these other people who own businesses in Detroit and what they promote and how their whole input is affecting crime in the city and murder in the city, you know, because they have a part in it too. But first, we as black people need to address our own problems, you know, because we got a lot of issues that we need to deal with before we even think about what the white man and what the other man is doing, you know. It's like Kumo B said, I never had to run from the Ku Klux Klan, so I shouldn't have to run from a black man. You know, but the reality is you just may have to run if you want to save your life, because there's brothers out here and they are strapped and they're looking for somebody who's looking grim at them to get the busing on. And it's crazy that you got guys out here that's just ready to fire, ready to shoot. You know, we got some serious work to do, and we got to get it just like Larry Hoops. We got to get it together in Detroit. We got to get it together in Chicago. We got to get it together in L.A., in Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta. We got to get it together in this whole nation, as far as the inner city, because if we don't, they're going to get it together for us. And when they do, it's going to be urban, new millennium plantation. They're going to find some money. They're going to find some money to start building more prisons. They ain't got no money right now, and that's a real big problem, especially in the state of Michigan right now. A lot of criminals are being released because a lot of prisons have been closed because of lack of funding, and there's no beds, there ain't nowhere to put them. So you got to look, you look at guys and you say, okay, this guy's been in here for so long. You know, he was a non-violent offender. Let's let him out. But in the meantime, while they're letting these guys out, you got other guys that are slipping through the cracks and being let out as well that were violent offenders. And they're being let out. And they done served 10 to 15 years. They done been in the system, incarcerated. And now they back out here on the streets. They don't know how to live out here on the streets, you know. And ain't no work, ain't no work for no felon out here. What's a felon gonna do out here when a lot of black men that ain't got felonies and ain't never been to jail can't find a job? Now, what are these guys gonna do? You know what they're gonna do. They're going right back to the hood. They're gonna pick their scraps up and they're gonna figure out how to get them some cash the best way they know how. And then to the University of Penitentiary. So they've been up in there trading stories and learning how to pull jack moves, rob dope houses, stick up kids, all of that. Now they back out here on the street doing the same. They're going to come right back out here and start doing the same thing because they got nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose. You know, they feel like, hey, I already did time. So I got more time than I got money. And if I got to do some time by trying to get money, then that's what I got to do. Because I need some money. I got to survive the best way I know how. Now, a lot of these guys are too big and bold to want to even try to start at the bottom. And a lot of them, with their record, they can't get a job at McDonald's. They can't get a job at Burger King. Or they might feel like they can. So where are they going to go? You know, it's a big problem. And it's a big problem. And we got a long way to go to fix it. I know everybody, the whole nation, are kind of up in arms about this situation in Florida. Florida is a tragedy as well. You know, that's something that I'll touch a lot more on next week because that's more of not a black-on-black thing. That's just more of what we've always had to deal with. That's more of a... Now I feel like they can kill a black man and just come up with any kind of excuse that they want to come up with. What else? He was reaching for his candy. He was reaching for his cell phone. And
we all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid, so to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause, the way we live is positive, we don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headlines, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Triple brothers, life with a knife.
Destruction, yeah, destruction, destruction, yeah.
All right. I'm back on there. I'm back. I had a little technical difficulties there for a minute. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. I was, before technical difficulties, I was just touching a little bit on the situation down in Florida. Yesterday I was listening on Mason's show here in Detroit, and one of his co-hosts, Angie Starr, she said she used to live in Orlando, Florida. In Orlando, she said this Sanford is a suburb of Orlando, and she said it's known to be a very affluent area, that a lot of black people do not live out there, and that the police are very, very strict when it comes to us being out there already. So it's like, if you don't live out there and you don't have any business out there, then you shouldn't be out there. However, this boy lived out there. His mother or his father, one of them, lived in that community. So it wasn't like he was out of place. He was somewhere that he could have been. He was somewhere that he should have been. And he didn't do anything wrong. So, you know, they are trying to come up with all different types of theories as to why they want to give this guy a free walk as far as pulling the trigger. But he was told to stand down. He was told not to follow the guy, and he did it anyway. So he was looking for a confrontation. That was his main objective, was to be, to have a confrontation. And I guess he had a new gun, and he really wanted to try it out, you know. But as I stated before, that's really what the next episode is going to be about, is about what happens when these other ones, you know, when they project their violence on us. Because first of all, we need to deal with the black-on-black violence in our communities, because that's what's really off the hook. You know, that's really off the hook. And then especially when you add this whole snitch, this no snitch policy thing in there, where, you know, we feel like, man, I ain't no snitch, I ain't seen nothing, I don't know what happened. You didn't see it, you know what happened. You know what happened. You seen them, you seen the car. You know who did that drive-by. You know who did that. But nobody wants to tell, you know, until it's their brother, until it's their cousin, until it's their father. Then they wanna know who done it. Then they want people to tell. But when it's not that, when it's not a direct relation to them, they don't want to snitch. And I feel like there's different areas of snitching. And when it comes to death, especially senseless death, that's not snitching. You know, that's getting straight up criminals off the street that don't belong on the street. You know, I'm like my boy say, I'm telling. I don't care. I'm telling. And somebody needs to tell if they seen it. That's what their attitude needs to be. I'm telling. Because, these things are going on. Innocent brothers are being shot down. Innocent young ladies are being shot down and killed. And when these crimes go unsolved, it just breeds more anger and more apathy in the community. And all it's doing is desensitizing the community to the violence. So when they do hear about, man, you hear about them brothers that shot up the other day? Oh, yeah, that wasn't nothing, man. Like them other boys got shot up, last week with somebody. And they're saying it's nothing. But these are human lives. What do you mean it was? It could be nothing. It's a human life. So, I don't know. It's really rough when we're out here just, trying to figure out which way to go. And, people don't want to talk about what's going on. They act like, snitching is an issue. I think I have a call here. Looks like it's a pretty. I'm going to try to see if I can get this one on. Caller, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's your comment? You want to get your own? What's happening with Marvin?
I'm trying to call and find out. You spoke about leadership. And among the young people, I think we need to get back on and get one of our old persons that we always looked at and all the people in the community hated, and that was Kwame Malik Kilpatrick. To me, he was a leader for the young people. And I think we need to get him back here in Michigan, despite whatever the politicians and all the naysayers were saying. I think he was the best thing for these young people because he inspired them. He inspired so many of our young people to do right.
Yeah, you're right with that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And being that, he's been there with these young people from being a teacher, he's related to them. And you didn't have all this carrying on when he was the mayor or the teacher or the attorney. And I think the media ran him out of town. And then you had the black media, just cussing at him like, they're setting it up and making us think that, oh, my God, he's the worst thing since sliced bread. But I think we need to get some more young people that's going to relate to him.
Right.
And let the media, put the media out of it. And
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I agree with you on that, and I think the media needs to just let the past die and let this man come from where he's coming from now, because he really can relate to a lot of these brothers now because he done been to penitentiary. He did time. He was locked up. He knows how it feels to be incarcerated.
Yes, and the kids by him being incarcerated, that's the wrong thing.
He has a great testimony. I mean, he came from, he kind of, like you say, he comes from Dexter, Linwood or whatever, but he didn't come from poverty, but he came from the inner city, but he rose up through education because he always knew because of his people that was the way out. But when he got caught up, he ended up in a system where a lot of brothers that don't have education end up,
Well,
and
his thing was, and I'm still fighting, and I'm a staunch supporter of him and his thoughts, but the key is he was only, I can see if he robbed or raped or pillaged or something, but no, he went to jail for saying no, he didn't have relationship. But other than that, his job spoke for itself. He was a very good mayor.
Right.
He was a very good leader.
Right.
And nobody's given him credit for all that. He brought Detroit back.
Right.
And, I mean, from ashes almost. And I think as a people, we have all these church leaders and, let's establish our own black boot camp for our young people.
Yeah.
Put them in, instead of letting the private sector take care of them. Because all they're in there is how much money they can get from each person by putting them in jail and for how long. Instead of helping them, we need to help these young people. Instead of, all right, you get 2 years, automatically you go to life. But what about when they get out?
Right. Just like I mentioned about the Detroit 300, we need organizations like that to be able to, you know, get some kind of federal dollars where they can get a building or they can get an area where we can get, you know, these guys that, you know, you know they done dropped out of school. You know they ain't going to school. So we need to be able to take them somewhere and show them a whole different lifestyle, you know.
Well, and that will be a good boot camp for them.
Yeah,
you, know,
this, you
know,
so
they'll have
idea,
room and board.
You know?
They don't have to
yeah.
walk the street.
Right.
They have
they
room
can
and
learn
board.
Trade. They can learn
right.
and trade while they're learning discipline and while they're learning how to be real men.
Right.
You know? Well, that's
instead
a great
of
idea.
Trying to politicalize all of this, you know, here we got the Detroit 300
and just,
you know, we
you
need
know.
To stop politicizing everything or waiting
yeah.
for a leader to come down. And as one TV commentator told me, well, he was mentioning on TV, but he was saying, well, they got Obama. But see, Obama's trying to get reelected. And
right.
he may
well,
have feelings
can,
for us.
Can, look, there's only so much he can do. He can't put his
right.
hands on the pulse of the inner city. This man is over
well,
the whole country.
Right,
he
and he needs to. Right, he can't. He just
no,
needs to stimulate himself.
That's on the locals, you know.
Right.
He's doing
right.
his job for the nation, the locals, the cities, and the states, the cities, and the locals need to handle their issues as well.
And then being that he's
always,
over the country, he needs to step up, and we need as citizens and let him know that we do need an urban agenda.
Right.
There
is
been no urban agenda, so we need to let him know that there is a need for an urban agenda for all people.
Right.
You got poor
that's
white,
right.
poor brown, poor red, poor green, poor black. You have all these colors in the urban agenda. So instead of us worrying about how to handle and say the right words for a gay person or whatever else, you know, or striped person or whatever's going on, we need to have an urban agenda, and we need to get up and start speaking about it now and creating some type of solution instead of talking about it. And I don't want to keep holding up your minutes, but
my time is almost up.
I thought I would say a few things. So
well,
you have a great day.
All right, you
okay.
too. And
have a great day.
You're always welcome to call into the show, okay?
All right, you have a great day. Now, just think about
right.
Kwame. Okay, bye.
All right, now. Bye-bye. Yeah, we, you know, that was a pretty good point about Kwame Kilpatrick, because he was raked over the coals by the media here in Detroit, and he was did wrong by... you know, Kim Worthy, I'm going to call her name out, you know what I'm saying, and some other people, you know, we have some other black judges and other people that just wanted to vilify that man. They just wanted to rake that man totally over the coals instead of dealing with the real issues in the city of Detroit. Like he said when he was here last time, hey, I've been out of the picture for 2-3 years, you know what I'm saying, and look at the city now. I ain't had nothing to do with the current state of affairs. You know what I'm saying? So whatever he did when he was in there, he's gone, and whoever's in now, it's on their back because that man is not here anymore. The next man who is the mayor and city council and everybody that's in charge, they need to stand up and start coming up with some real solutions and quit sitting behind these tables talking about what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, we, you know, Obama can't do everything, but, you know, they came up with all these trillions to go over here into another country and fight Iraq and Afghanistan and all them people, but we can't come up with no money for the inner city to help rebuild our inner cities, to help rebuild the youth of the next generation? Man, come on now. Yeah, we got a real problem here in America, and it ain't going nowhere. And until we get some people to stand up and come up with some serious solutions. We can march all we want to. We can set up there and talk all the rhetoric we want, but until we get out here in these streets and do some real work, the saga will continue. You know, I ain't got but a couple minutes left on my show. I'm really a first-timer, and I'm real passionate about this whole thing because I'm a 46-year-old black man, and I've been out here in this world, you know, and I know both sides of it. I ain't never been in no prison or no jail. I'm an educated black man, but I've had to deal with racism. I've had to deal with the ups and downs of things that happen in life. But you have to get to a point where you say right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you line up with the Lord and you want to get your head right, then you can change. You know, everybody can change. Tupac talked about being a change man. Anybody can change if you really want to. You just have to make up your mind that you're going to live a different lifestyle and you're not going to be out here buck wild. You know, I don't know what else to say. I got to let all my peoples know about my show so I can get a lot of more input, you know, so this thing can really start affecting people around the nation and we can get some talk. I mean, like I said, we need to get it together in Detroit. We need to get it together in Atlanta. We need to get it together in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? The violence is out of control in Chicago. It's always been out of control in South Central, Compton, and L.A. You know what I'm saying? It's out of control, man. And, you know, anytime you got 14, 15-year-old boys walking up, they got AK-47s and cannon. Man, where you get that from? When we was teenagers, man, ain't nobody had no automatic weapons. You barely had a .22. And a bunch of knives and bats or whatever. Ain't nobody had no automatic weapons. These kids got automatic weapons now out here. So I think my time is about up. I really enjoyed my first show. I'm going to have to make sure I promote it to my people and let them know. And we'll go out again like we came in.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
it's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid, so to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause, the way we live is positive, we don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Sugar Brothers, life with a knife, that's cause he died of trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I blessed to watch his death? Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, cause that's
self-destruction.